just kind of wanted to get caught up on what you're doing there. What's going on?
Well, I mean, a couple things. I'm off to my best year ever in the business, so I'm happy about that. I'm really having a great start to my year. I've been averaging about 86,000 a month, which is way up. I mean, so I'm on track to hit $1 million this year in production. So that's my goal for the year, is to finally crack that number, and I'm on track for that. And, so really pleased with that. I've been doing a lot more, stuff with meditation for sure. And, I actually just got, or I've been using for the past like 2-3 months, a thing called a Healy, H-E-A-L-Y, which is a device that, you might actually really like. It's designed to help balancing energy in your body. So the aura ring gauges your sleep patterns, and your aura ring gauges your heart rate. This actually tells you what's out of balance. Like this looks at your body and tells you what's out of balance in your body, and then gives you strategies or actually helps to help heal certain things. So if your chakras are out of balance, it helps with your chakras. It helps to balance out the body. And I've been using it for a couple months now, and I really, really like it.
That's great. Does it work? It actually works?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. It's H-E-A-L-Y is the name of the device.
And you wear it on your wrist, right? I see them with athletes and things, right?
Well, this one it clips onto like your shirt. So it doesn't, you can wear, there are cables that connect to the device that then you wear around your wrist, or you clip it to your ear. So there are healings that it does where you're right. It's a device that's on your wrist, but then the main device, actually you can use it without the wrist, depending on what you want to work on. But I've been using it a lot. I use it every day, and it's, I notice a difference too in mood and how I feel, and what I'm, you know, just how my approach to the day goes is when I use it, it gives like a natural calming effect to the body. So I like it.
All right.
And so I've been doing that. My son just graduated from high school. He's going to go to Syracuse in the fall, and my daughter just finished up her year at Loyola for freshman year, Loyola, Maryland. So a lot happening with my family, which is mind-blowing. Altering within itself, you know. So it's, you know, I'm having a good spring. I'm actually I'm getting ready to go to a conference on meditation and Reiki in about 2 weeks. So I'm looking forward to getting there for that. And so yeah, there's a lot happening.
So you think that this is a contributor to your success due to your attitude, do you think? Or how are you pulling it all together? What do you contribute your success to?
So I think that these things have helped me to take a calmer approach to life and to take and reduce the stresses that I was creating, you know, whether they were induced because of mindset or whatever. I think that has these, you know, being aware of my heart rate, being aware of, you know, how I'm feeling and being more in tune with my body has definitely helped me. My meditation has definitely helped me. Being more in flow has helped. I mean, the supernova stuff helped too, because I'm, you know, that gave me the, you know, strategies and techniques that I've used to help with being more organized with my day. So I think it's a combination of a couple things for sure. I'm definitely, I, you know, and, you know, the fact that COVID had me slow down my life too also contributed to that, because I was commuting an hour one way every day, you know, 2 hours in my car every day. So I would literally be, you know, I was racing with my life a lot. And since I, that got slowed down, obviously because of COVID. And then in the midst of all that, I just dove deeper into some other things that I wanted to in my life. And so it's been a combination for sure.
Listen, it's really interesting. So the productivity from not the 2 hours of lost productivity in commuting, you're taking advantage of to some degree, and the time, the reflection time, because you all of a sudden you had time, so you,
yep,
you took the time to reflect and make some life changes. And my guess is you've taken better care of your body in the last year than you maybe have for years, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm due for a physical, and I want to get my cholesterol and everything checked. But what I eat now, I'm paying way more attention to, and I've eaten better, and I've cut out basically red meat and even chicken. I just eat fish, and you know, I'll do eggs and a lot of greens and a lot of organic stuff, and I do a lot with vitamins, and you know, I've been pumping my body with a lot of zinc, and you know, ginger, garlic, you know, stuff's the natural anti-inflammatory antibiotics, turmeric I take every day, so that's helped my joints a lot. I didn't get sick at all this winter, and I attribute a lot of that to what I put into my body. I mean, I'm drinking more water. I'm, of course, throw in some wine in there. I mean, you know, that's always good for cholesterol and drinking. So I've definitely been on a higher plane as far as how I'm operating. I'm.
How about your workouts?
Well, I was doing really good with my workouts, and then I tweaked my shoulder. So unfortunately, the last 6 weeks I've been going to physical therapy to try to strengthen my shoulder back up. But I'm almost at the point where I can start lifting again. I was doing a lot of push-ups and pull-ups and sit-ups, you know, like body weight stuff. And actually got some bands, the resistance bands, and was using those, and then I tweaked my shoulder, and I wanted to make sure I didn't tear my rotator cuff, and the doctor was like, well, he didn't think I tore it. He just said, you need to go back and get some, you need to get some physical therapy to strengthen it back up, because you definitely tweak some things. So, that's not exactly where I want it to be, but I'm getting there.
How about your sleep routine?
So my sleep is good. I mean, since we last talked about that, my sleep routine has been pretty good. I definitely pay attention to the Oura ring. I mean, I use that every day and track my sleep. And one of my big goals is heart and brain connection, you know, and the HVR. I notice at night when I do a breath routine, like my big breath routine that I'll work on in the evenings is taking 4 breaths in, holding for 4 breaths, then letting 4 breaths out, holding, and I do, like, it's called box breathing. So I've been doing a lot of that. And then when I go to sleep at night, I'll see my heart rate variability, my heart brain connection is jumping up to 40 when it's normally around 25. So that means I'm getting a deeper, better sleep.
Well, that's great.
And that's helped a lot.
So is your energy good then? Your energy is better.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. My energy has been really, really good. I mean, I might do one coffee in the morning and then I'm just drinking, I'll hydrate during the day with a lot of water and, I drink a lot of mineral water, so I've always got a Pellegrino to drink and, drink a lot of green tea in the afternoon. And, so I've been very conscious. I mean, health wise, I'm probably, not as strong as what I want to be, but health wise, I'm in a good place with what I'm eating. Definitely one of the best places I've been in my whole life, if not the best.
It's really, really good to hear. I mentioned to you the, my daughter is working for WW, right? The Weight Watchers, the old Weight Watchers organization. And, she's amazing. I mean, you talk about live the model. She looks the best I've seen her look in years. And, so I joined, and it's just the awareness of what you're putting in your body and avoiding all that inflammatory stuff, I think is so, I've always been, proper, gym layer, proper amount of sleep, exercise and diet and treat your body, like a temple and take good care of it. It'll take good care of you. And the advantage I have now is I'm 75, but I've still got the energy of a 35-year-old. And it's just because of taking care of myself, the whole time. But we all need a checkup and we need to learn more. So I'm doing this now and just being, it's amazing. Just, I only put down for, my goal wasn't to lose weight, but more to, fitness and health, just better fitness and better health.
And yep.
So I'm allowed to eat a lot of things and they give you points. You get so many points a day and it just raises your awareness because all you do is take a picture of the barcode of whatever you're about to eat or drink, and you realize I've got 16 points I can get today. There's a whole lot of things that are free, and the thing I'm about to put in my mouth is 5 points.
It holds you accountable, right?
Yeah.
You're doing.
There's no free lunch. You just literally, you can't go and have that little snack that you're used to doing. For me, it was bars. I always thought bars were healthy, right? But hell, a bar is 10 points, So I eat a bar and something else and I'm all of a sudden I'm at my max and I can't eat anything, but it allows you to eat eggs. You can eat chicken, eggs, fish, all this stuff, all vegetables. All are free for me because I'm more of a maintenance thing than a big weight loss. But I have one other idea for you on your shoulder. I don't know if I told you this, but I always had shoulder issues, surgery on both shoulders. I played a lot of tennis as a kid and all through college and all that. So I did some real, I worked them over pretty hard. But ever since I've been biking in that plank position, I ride a good bike, a road bike. Ever since I've been doing that, my shoulders have been fine. Cause it's an hour of being sort of in a plank position. It's not your whole body, but it's still your upper body that you're holding on. And so I just suggest that either, you know, just do, do planks, you know, where you're really just holding the position, for a period of time, or ride your bike or get a good road bike and, you know, with the drop handlebars and all that. And you'd be surprised how strong your shoulders get.
Well, I think the plank's a great suggestion. Do you do the Peloton bike, or you actually get out on the road?
I get out on the road, yeah. Because in Florida, I've got a bike path for an hour ride, you know, about 17 miles an hour. It's about an hour, and that's a good workout. And I, you know, I get to see the world.
Well, that's really good. So you're getting out, and that's a really good exercise is for your legs and for your lower back too, probably because of the ride, you know, on the pedals and.
Yep.
Yeah, that sounds. I have a road bike, and I have it's been collecting dust. I need to get it out, and I need to use it. I've been.
You know, it's fun. I do the. You know, I have the clips and the wear the outfit and the whole thing. So it's. You know, I'm looking like one of those guys that do the Tour de France, but I'm you know, I'm 75, so it's kind of fun.
Plus, it's a good work. I mean, you feel good when you're done riding too. You know, I'm sure you feel really good.
Not sitting in the house on a Peloton, which is fine, but going out and seeing nature and not wearing earplugs, but just looking around and enjoying your morning, and you know, and I do it early. I get up at, you know, it's a 6:20 ride till 7:20, so it's a. It's done, and the world is awake.
Oh wow, you do it at 6:20. That's good. So then you're beating all the traffic on the highway too.
Yeah, I actually take my now I'm in Nashville, and I take my bike to the park in my car, park it, and then we've got a park here, Shelby Park, which is about the size of Central Park in New York, so it's big. So I can bike as much as I want there.
And you don't have to worry about traffic either.
No traffic issues. I just don't want to be hit. You know, it's fine. You know, some people don't mind the risk. I just really don't want it. So.
Yeah, no, I don't want that either. You hear too many people that get caught up in stuff with cars, and yeah, that's good.
It sounds like
your diet's really helping you do all these things too. Because are you still doing your chemo? Or do you still have that treatment? Or is that
I'm kind of on a no medicine, you know, whatever remission kind of thing until I get another flare up. So we really don't treat it until I get a flare up, and then. And so I think this is all good to keep me balanced. Here's the interesting thing. I felt really bloated. You know, my weight was a little more than it should be, but it was the feeling of being bloated and having gas and that horrible, you know, feeling. And I know I'm allergic to soy. So I was drinking drinks with soy in them, protein drinks. And then I was eating bars with soy in them. And those two I think those two things alone were screwing me up.
What kind of bars were you eating? Was it a specific kind?
Yeah, the Clif bars, which are the.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're like the best bar there is when you look at what's in them, but I shouldn't need bars. You know, I got plenty of fruits and vegetables I can eat. Here and eat an apple and a banana and put some peanut butter on a banana and, you know, peanut butter and an apple. And that's a much better snack, and it doesn't cost me any points.
Really? So then that's a good one to do then, huh? Yeah, the banana. Well, that's because it's as natural as it gets. Are you using like natural peanut butter too then?
Yeah, I use a peanut butter that is, organic and is healthy. But, you're familiar with the glycemic index, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so this would be a low on the glycemic index, not a high sugar content, and it would be sustainable. The key is to add the protein so it's sustainable. Yeah, so just eat an apple, it's fine, or eat a banana, but there's a lot of sugar in those. They kind of spike you, and then you're hungry again, or you're... The other thing is, by not eating any carbs, I mean, not a lot of carbs, I'm not hungry. And the other Hello. Thing, I would eat just because I was bored.
Okay, I get that.
Right, you sit and watch a movie or you sit and watch some sort of sporting event and you pick at something. And that's the worst. That's just whatever you're eating too much of, and it's not really healthy for you.
Do you eat a lot of almonds? Like, is that part of your diet too? Like,
but you'd be surprised. I can't eat much. A quarter of a cup is all they allow you. And if I eat that, I'm fine. But that's a serving. And so
they give you good energy too.
Yeah, almonds by themselves. But I have these fruit packs, that with almonds and raisins and other things.
Okay.
In. And if you scan it, it tells you one serving of this is like 2 points. And it's only a quarter of a cup. And if you take and put that stuff into a quarter cup, it's a little thing. It fits in the middle of your hand. And that's really what, that's what Jack Groppel used to teach me at the Jim Lehrer course, is that you can have a snack, Rob, but that doesn't mean you eat the bag. You have something that fits in the palm of your hand. That's it.
So that's so he's big into all that stuff too. Then he's encouraging that as far as.
Yeah, that was 20 years ago. I learned all that, but does it stick? No, you need kind of a reminder, and I like the points thing because it just sort of raises your awareness.
Well, that's with. I mean, you're also the you're. So it's about watching your weight, but it's also, it sounds like it's about maintaining your weight too, right?
Yeah, WW has become a health company rather than
Oprah.
Yeah, it's Oprah's company. And it's rather than a health, rather than a lose weight company, it's become a healthy living company.
Okay.
That Jack Groppel used to say, never. Never diet. Diet is not right. You eat a healthy diet. You learn what is a good diet. What is a good, healthy diet? Proper amount of sleep, exercise, and diet. What does diet mean? It means that you eat things that are good for you and avoid things that aren't. So it's just, it's just common sense, but without a guide, you cheat. Because life is so tempting for you, you produce donuts, they cost you nothing and they sell for a lot of money. It's pretty good spread. You sell Coca-Cola, you make it for nothing. It's water with some garbage in it and you sell it for a lot of money. It's a big, the cost for Coca-Cola is not in the Coke. It's in the advertising.
Right. Yeah, that's funny you say that. I was on a conference and it was all about that as the intellectual capital behind it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, there's no cost to the Coke. It's just the cost to get you to drink it. And so there's not an organization that counterbalances that advertising unless you get yourself a coach like WW provides. So it, you know, and I don't have a personal coach. I just go by what they're telling me to do on the app. And it's, I'm just getting educated again. I knew all these things, but remember Plato said learning is remembering. And so, you know,
well, that's because we all already knew all this.
Yeah, we already knew it. Mothers taught us this, you know, you eat a balanced diet, nothing in excess, and you'll do fine. Well, you know, we eat a bag of pretzels, or, you know, we eat a bag of potato chips, or we eat a bag of this because we can. And then we're bloated and we feel terrible and we go, what happened? Why do I feel so bad? Why am I so logy? And it's not like I'm, you know, super overweight, but I'm, you know, I think I'll end up losing about 10 pounds doing this, but I'll feel so much better. I already feel better. My stomach is not bloated.
That's good. That's really good. Because you're not just overloading your body. You're adding food and nutrients in when your body needs it, as opposed to just eating to eat.
Yeah.
I'm sure that makes a big difference in it all.
Well, I said to my wife last night, you know, what are we going to do? How should we plan out our diet, our meals for tomorrow? And I've never said that. I eat whatever I'd open up the refrigerator and eat whatever I felt like. Well, that's, you know, instead we had beans and rice and a nice soup, cold soup, gazpacho soup. And, you know, that's going to be a few points. But if I eat 16 points a day, that's fine, but I shouldn't eat 30, see? And that's the key.
So I was thinking, I'm totally off of this, because I was thinking that that was all packaged foods that you bought, but that's not the case.
No, I've got a list here of things that don't count, that is a full page that I can eat, and they don't cost me anything. So it's just it's an awareness. It's becoming, so they have classes on meditation, and they have classes on everything. And you can hire a private coach. You can be on a call with a coach. So it's really interesting company now.
But it sounds like it's helped you a lot, though. I mean, because if you were taking sugars, if you were eating a bunch of sugars right now and you weren't paying attention to your diet, I'm sure your body would be acting and be totally different, and you probably wouldn't be feeling the way that you're feeling.
Well, that's exactly,
you know,
right. That's exactly right. They taste delicious when they go down, but then they eat. Yeah, so I'd rather not have that delicious taste. And, you know, I was a vegetarian for 7 years. I didn't eat any sugar, and I used to take great care of myself. And then you gradually reintroduce things to the point where you're saying, "No, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine." You know, and that's not fine. You know.
I didn't know you were a vegetarian. That's wow. I mean, that's a big commitment. So that's good. That you went that direction.
Well, it's just, you know, my dad died of a heart attack. And he was a diabetic, and it just sort of shocked me. And so I just sort of went over the top to get my, you know, and I've always been the same weight and the same size, but I just sort of went over the top in terms of just being careful what I put in my stomach, just because I wanted to reduce the amount of cholesterol. I didn't want to even keep it the same. I wanted to reduce it.
Yep.
You know, it was just one of those things, and I did it. And then, you know, I needed more protein. The doctor told me I needed more protein, so I couldn't get enough from legumes and that stuff. So I introduced fish and chicken, and then now I'm still pretty much fish and chicken, except, you know, occasionally I'll have a something. but it's very much an occasion. Probably not going to happen now. Now that I know what that sucker will cost me. You know, if you look at 10 points for one hamburger or something, you're just going to figure out a way not to eat that. It's just not worth it. Cause I don't like to, you know me, I'm a competitive guy. And if I set my mind staying under 16 points a day, by God, I'm going to be under 16 points a day.
That's amazing. That's amazing that you're using that as your gauge. It's really good. It's really cool because I mean, it's giving you your parameters, you know, your body's like, it's, you know, not to compare it to a car, but in some ways it's like a car. Like if you don't change your oil in your car periodically, your car's going to get messed up.
Right.
You know, if you don't put oil in the, you know, change the oil, you don't put air in the tires. I mean, if you don't maintain.
Right. And let's say your car requires premium and you decide you're going to be cheap and put in regular, you're going to know it. Not right away.
Yep.
Your car won't, you know, it'll start to clunk and knock, as we used to say. You know, you don't hear that very much anymore, cars knocking, but they used to knock. Anyway, it's the same kind of thing, right? I was just compromising. You know, and when you're hiking and, you know, hiking 10 miles a day, you can pretty much put anything in there and it'll burn it up. But when you're coaching for 6 hours a day, you better be careful what you're putting in there.
So you're still super busy then. I mean, you sound like you've got a full day each day then.
I've got seven coaching sessions today. So with preparation.
Wow.
Think about it, with preparation and then, you know, all the stuff that I do in between. I mean, that's a full, I was starting at 8 o'clock this morning. I'll be done at like 4:30. That's not every day, but that's, you know.
I mean, you just do it because you like doing it. I mean, you don't technically need to do any of it.
No.
Right? You just like, I mean, it's a good way to stay interactive with people, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I give the money to my foundation. The foundation provides a better life for people. And, you know, it's my way of being, having a cycle of goodness.
Yep.
Our project with the Supernova Scholars is moving forward.
Is that with the African Americans and getting them involved? Is that how?
Right. Getting them into our business, right? So our goal is to put 100 people of color through the program each year. You know, that would be, you know, so they graduate. It's a 5-year program for each one of them, starting their sophomore year, putting them through and getting them ready for our industry, and then putting them in on a team, and they'll be prepared. They'll be like a virtual engagement associate plus a CFP, plus they'll be prepared for their Series 7 exam and plus. So we're going to give them tons of coaching. Summer internships. It won't be just summer internships. It'll be a whole curriculum. We're supplementing the curriculum in the universities with our own, and they're allowing it. And so pretty exciting, you know, and we're going to focus on athletes that are, you know, already committed, but aren't so committed to their sport that they, you know, I don't want somebody that's going to go be an NBA player. I want somebody that has decided they need a career and that, you know, track and field doesn't pay that well, or tennis or golf or
golf. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, pro basketball, pro football, or pro baseball is really where it's at. I mean, everything else is
brutal.
Just not.
Yeah, you can be a golfer from Wake Forest and probably make it up, you know, the first one or two guys on the team will make it on the tour, but that's about it. And the guys on the tennis team, even though number one in the country, didn't make it on the tour. I mean, that's how tough these
really?
Teams are. Yeah. And you know, most teams that most historically black colleges and universities don't put people on the tour or even in the, you know, they don't go on the tennis tour. You know, maybe they have a few people come in and go NFL or go NBA, but not too many. These are not your division, you know, one top competing school. So they're good candidates for us. So.
Well, keep us in mind. I mean, I talked to Peter Kieko, the head of the team, and said that you were working on this. And so certainly if you find candidates and you're looking to try to find placements for people, let me know, because, you know, we're always open to talking to people. So, and especially with the project that you've got working on. So.
Yeah, I think you're going to get a good candidate out of this. You know, I think, if you do choose to, and I have you down as one of the guys to talk to, but if, you know, it would be somebody from, you know, your market. I don't want to move a guy from California to you and give him an internship and then he goes back to California. I mean, it'd be, you know, yeah. Try and find the kids that from each of the markets. If they're from Winston-Salem, they go back to Winston-Salem and they do their internship and work on a team in Winston-Salem. And then we don't.
Yep.
We don't have to pay for room and board and all that stuff. So we want a kid from the local community. You know, there might be a few exceptions, but I don't want them commuting for an hour every day or 2 hours.
Peter's up in Greenwich. So that's our main headquarters. So, I mean, there's probably a bigger pool up in that area than there is. I mean, that's New York City area and all over. So it definitely be.
It's a fun project, and it's, you know, it, we'll see how it, you know, what we net out, but whatever we net out will be better than what was happening now, because the firms are doing unfortunately, they're trying, but they're not doing a good job. The failure rate is like 95% failure rate.
Wow.
It's terrible. And so if you see a black person in our industry, it's like a miracle.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they have there's certain areas where they can be, and certain areas where they're going to excel, and certain areas where they're not going to excel at all, for sure. So it's,
yes.
I mean, Harrisburg's a tough market. I mean, I know the guy, there's an African American that's in our office, and he's made it, but he's been a part of a team, you know, and he's surrounded by, you know, it's not just him. He's on a team, but it's all, you know.
It's all white people.
White people and one woman. So, yeah, he's.
That's what we need. We need that. We need, that's got to be the model right there. And then eventually there's two of them in the office and then three. And then, you know, and then they have their own team or whatever. But they got to, yep. You can't, it's almost impossible to break in and learn all the skills that you need. And the interpersonal skills and the customs and all that, too, if you're not on a team.
Yep.
And you got to be good. You got to be a tiger. I don't want anybody that can't take a punch in the face. You know what I mean?
I know. I mean, my skin got very thick over the years. We're just doing what I do.
No, it just.
But then it.
Think about the women that are playing, you know, college level soccer or college level this or volleyball or something. I mean, they come in here, somebody gives them some crap, they're just going to give it right back, or they're going to take it and not think about it, because they've been dealing with crap their whole life up to now, right? But
yep.
Another person that had sort of a normal life, and they come in and they have, this is not a normal business. This is not your average business. You're going to get punched in the face. And if it's the first time, you might quit, you know. And we can't afford that. We need people that, you know, they've gotten up 25 times before they ever get to us. You know,
I know. I hear you. I mean, I quit in my first 3 years in this business. I wanted to quit every couple of weeks. I wanted to quit because I just hated it. I hated the rejection, and I hated the feeling of just feeling like I'm getting nowhere. And it's crazy. But you know, I just kept plugging away, and eventually it's like golf. You get a shot or two that's good, and then you're like, all right, I'm happy. Let's keep this going.
Right. But you didn't sit around and blame your color of your skin every time somebody said no.
Yeah, no, that's correct. Not even close.
So, and that to me is the biggest problem. You got a built-in excuse for failure. And so it's like, it wasn't me, it was my skin. They're just racist, so I can't make it. We gotta bust that cycle and get people that don't see themselves as black, but see themselves as athletes and smart kids and all the rest of it. No more. You can't win with a victim mentality. You just can't. So you gotta get rid of that. And I think athletes that have been through it would have dealt with that pretty well.
Yeah, well, a lot of those guys have kind of been used to getting a charmed life too, and that they're, because of their athletic abilities, they've been right. able to do and open up doors that in many places they wouldn't have really had an opportunity to visit. So,
yeah, we want the kids that, you know, we don't want the superstars, because they're going to be spoiled. And you know, they don't want rejection. They want something that's going to treat them like they, you know, the superstar, as you say, has been headed pretty good. You know, they haven't had to deal with rejection. I want the kid that's the average kid that had to fight his way onto the team and still is fighting every day. Mm-hmm. He gets up and he fights. And so when he gets in this business, it'll be just one more fight, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it'll just be another battle. And they'll be like, yeah, this is fine. Because, you know, now that's the way it was for me. And so we kind of do things in our own image, but it was never easy for me, anything. And I always had to fight. And so when I got to this business, it was just one more fight. And fine, I can do this. Compared to landing on aircraft carriers, this is a freaking piece of cake.
That's right.
I'm not going to die today, you know?
Can't even imagine that. I can't even imagine. I mean, that's awesome that you did that, but that's just amazing. Did you fight?
No, you don't care. You just love. It's just a big adventure. But it was funny when people like 1987. Somebody said to me, "How can you be so calm?" Well, first of all, I was taught to be calm, right? As a pilot, if you lose an engine. I said to him, I said, listen, this is nothing. I said, people aren't going to die. You know, if you lose an engine on final, that's a problem. Okay. Or you lose an engine on takeoff. That's a problem. This is not a problem. This is just money and people are going to make it back. So, you know, our job is to be calm and to make good decisions based on judgment and being calm.
Well, that goes back to the beginning of the whole conversation, which is the whole thing about the meditation. I mean, I'm telling you, like, it's like that whole meditation thing. It's like kind of blowing up a balloon, right? If you think about it as a metaphor, like, you know, you get those balloons and you're trying to blow it up, and you get to that point where you're blowing and it's not expanding.
Right.
And then you just push it a little bit more and poof, it's expanded and it's opened up. And it's the same thing with this meditation and this calmness of the brain. Once your brain gets into that channel, your awareness continues to be heightened. And the more that your awareness is heightened, the more you are aware of everything that you're doing and your reactions and your body. I mean, one of the greatest things that you can do as a human being is know thyself. And and you know, like, just as an example, like a lot of like the guys on my team, when I take them into a meditation, they think 5 minutes is 15 minutes.
Oh yeah.
And like their brain, and that was me. You know what I mean? That was me. That was me doing in that same impression. And like, I was in my office, like, well, this is pre-COVID. It was like maybe probably January last year, and we were. I was like, okay, you know, we're a really stressful time with what's going on in the markets right now. It was actually February, and I said, if anybody here is interested in doing a meditation after this meeting, let me know. I mean, just stay after. And guys were like, oh yeah, that thing sounds good. And meeting ends. Literally, there's 25 people in the room, and four people stay. And of the four, it was two of the sales assistants and then two brokers. But and the one broker that said he wanted to stay, his mind was already geared up to what he needed to do when he got back on the phone. That he forgot.
Wow.
He forgot to come into the meeting. So that's
how screwed up you get.
Yeah.
I know. It's just so that, you know, that, and I'll leave you with this. My roommate one time in the Navy said, you know, the true measure of a samurai warrior wasn't his skill in battle. It was, but it wasn't his major skill. Their goal was to be able to, in the middle of the battle, write a poem.
Wow. Showing how calm you are.
Correct.
That's cool.
Okay. And that's, think about it, right? Who do you want as your pilot in an emergency? Who do you want as your doctor? Who do you want?
Yep.
Right? Who do you want sitting by the emergency door of an aircraft if you have an emergency? You want people
yep.
that are trained to stay calm, to breathe, and to be efficient and effective. So it's everybody in the ER. It's people that are anybody that emergency respond team, all military, all these people, that's what they're trained to do. Stay calm, fire department, police, stay calm. When do policemen lose it? When they don't stay calm. See, they get all, people get shot after a high speed chase. You know, 110 miles an hour chase, and they finally get the guy and then they shoot him. Why? Because they're so freaking pumped up. Their adrenaline is just cursing through them, and they,
yep.
judgment goes out the window.
Yep.
And so this is, but a person that's properly trained would finish a 110 mile an hour chase and be able to write a poem while he's arresting the guy.
He who angers you conquers you, right?
Right. Well, that's true. Good. Thank you. I needed that this day, actually. Thank you. Somebody angered me, and I'm like, Rob, you let them win. Yep, I did.
All right. So let me end it with this for you for the day. Let's just do a quick like meditation to like center. This is like something that I do with my team every day. So if you take your hands and put them on your heart, and just close your eyes for a minute. And just see if you can sense your heart beating. And breathe in a deep belly breath, like a breathe in that like expands your belly so that you're not just breathing into the top of your chest, but you're breathing into all of your lungs. And so that when you do that, you're breathing in for like a count of four. So if you follow my lead on this. So let's breathe in on the count of four. One, two, three, four. And hold it for a second. Hold it for a count of four, actually. One, two, three, four. Now breathe out for a count of four. One, two, three, four, and hold out on the out breath. One, two, three, four. Breathe in again. One, two, three, four. So that your belly is expanded and your lungs are full. hold one, two, three, four. Breathe out. One, two, three, four. Pause for a second. And one last breath. Let's do one more round for four. Breathe in. Hold. Breathe out. How do you feel?
Calmer.
Feel yeah. Good. It feels good, right? And that's just like 2 minutes.
That was good. That was really amazing, actually. I was pretty hyped up. You don't realize it.
Well, good.
Good recovery. Good recovery time in between my calls. I'll do that. So that's like a box.
Good.
That's what you call box breathing?
Box breathing, yep.
Love it.
So yeah. You breathe in for four, hold for four, breathe out for four, hold for four, and you just do that. And you know, I think it's good to really, you know, put your hand on your heart too, because then you're connecting to self, you know, with your hand, and you're showing yourself some love, if you will. And even if you have a hand on your belly too, that's always good, because then you can feel your filling up, because most of us just breathe into the upper part of our lung and we don't fill up the whole lung.
Well, it all fits with my yoga and Tai Chi and all the, you know, work I've done outside of here. So it's good. It's really good. All right. We're going to get ready. Rick, thank
all
you.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. It's always great to talk to you, Rob. I appreciate it. And I think we get to talk next month too. So I look forward to talking to you in July.
Me too. We can be each other's coaches.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I appreciate our talks and you know, you've shared a lot of wisdom with me. So I appreciate it.
Thanks. Me too. I agree. You shared with me. I appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Stay well.
Absolutely. All right, you too. I'll talk to you next month. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.